Okay, so we are now into week 6 of our teaching series called The Power of the Word. If you haven't heard the first 5, we've got them at the back, Dave.
Yep.
Help yourself, or go on to the podcast, or you can actually watch them 2 weeks behind on our internet TV channel. Oh, what are we like? Yeah. Almost semi-professional, eh, Dave? Professional. Dave's, bless Dave, he's been trialing streaming TV channel. So if there's nothing good on the TV on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, you can watch week 3, is that right, of The Power of the Word, with a lovely introduction by our announcer. Dave's looking, have you seen him? He's looking really good. So be sure to watch from 8 o'clock on Wednesday night to get his introduction. It's cool. I will definitely not start wearing Joseph Prince suits. Shiny. I'm going to get my teeth whitened at the weekend. Sorry, Joseph. Like he watches us. Never mind. Dave's trialing it. And it's really exciting, the amount of folk that's getting to hear the word. We have more folk listening online than we have in Lossie. From all over the world, isn't that right, Dave? It's brilliant. The truth is getting preached out there. I got a wonderful picture this morning from Chloe, the Vicar Nunzi. It says, "Speak the true meaning of God and his son." That's what she put, that's what we're doing here. Isn't that good? Out of the mouths of babes. Speak the true meaning of God and his son. That's what we're trying to do here. So we'll have that as our motto. Get the rest of the series. It's been good. And this week I'm going to finish this part of the teaching. I'm going to finish this section. We're going to finish our study on the parable of the sower. So we better pray for understanding, hadn't we? If you've been listening over the last 3 weeks, Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a seed that we can plant in our hearts to change our lives. It's a seed that will move us towards a holy life. And we want that so much, Lord. We want that fruit. We want that harvest. So we pray for our ears to be open, our minds to be open, for the seed of your word to go deep into our hearts. We pray for good ground. And above all, we pray for understanding, because we want that word, that seed, to stay in our heart. So I pray for understanding for every single person in this room this morning, everyone listening. I pray for understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, I've spent a long time going through this parable. I think this is the 5th week we've been actually on the parable itself. Long time. We've spent a long time in this parable because it's so important. Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand the rest. That's basically what he said. This is fundamental, foundational. You need to understand what this parable's saying, or you're just not going to get it. So it's really important. If you don't understand what I'm saying here, you're not going to understand anything else. That's what the Lord said. We've looked at the word of God as being a seed, and so far we've seen 3 types of ground that we plant that seed into. 3 types of hearts, 3 types of mindsets about how we deal with the word, how we think about the word. And today we're going to look at the last type of ground. We're going to look at the harvest. This is a good bit. This is what we're all aiming for. This is what we're all trying to get to, isn't it? Do you all want fruit in your life? Do you all want a harvest? The answer is yes. If any of you are not awake. So we're going to look at the last type of ground. So let's read the parable again. We're looking at it out of Mark 4. But you can look at it in Luke 8 and Matthew 13 as well. But Mark 4, I'll just read the whole parable again. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? That's the really important bit. You don't know this, you're not going to get the rest. Then he goes on to explain the parable. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Brilliant parable. Jesus using a picture of everyday life that everybody would have known about to explain principles in the kingdom. That's the way Jesus taught. He used pictures, analogies, parables of things that people knew about in their everyday life and then related that to principles of the kingdom. Great way to teach. So today we're going to spend time looking at this last type of ground, Mark 4:8. And there fell, and other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30. It's a 30. Says that I'm from Inverness, doesn't it? 30, and some 60, and some 100. Here at last we see a harvest. Fruit brought to perfection, able to be harvested. The seed has gone into this ground. It's developed. It's germinated. It's done what it needs to do to grow. It's broke through. It's got away from those thorns. They've gone. Good roots. Bang. Harvest. Plant has grown up. Climbed up, literally. It's what sprung up can mean in the Greek. It's climbed out of the earth. It's climbed up towards the sky, and it's produced fruit. Fruit has come to perfection, and it's been harvested. And in this type of ground, Jesus tells us, we see amazing levels of harvest. We see different levels of harvest, which is interesting. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So you put in one seed, you can get 30, 60, or 100 back. That's an amazing harvest. Quite interesting, if you look at Luke, he only says 100-fold. I had a thought about that. Nothing came to mind, so I won't talk about that. I'll maybe have that revelation when I'm on holiday next week. I don't know why Luke just says 100-fold. He's just the eternal optimist, maybe. I don't want 30 or 60. Let's just go straight for the 100. I don't know. I never got to the bottom of that one. But whatever measure of increase here, the sower's been really successful. He's got a fantastic harvest back from his seeds. Plant one seed, you get 30, 60, or 100. Brilliant. Bit of a result, quite a success. So what's that to do with us, Vic? Well, let's go to Mark 4:20. This is about our hearts, remember. This is about our mindset. This is about what we think about the word. This is about what we do with the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What's this telling us about us? Because this is Jesus talking about us now. He's talking about our hearts or our mindset. He says, you sow the seed in good ground, you hear the word, you receive it, and you get fruit. So what does that mean? Good ground. Good means beautiful. It also means valuable. And it also means virtuous. So I sat and I meditated on that. And I thought, it's not really telling me a lot. I didn't get a lot out of that. What type of ground is that? What's that telling me about my heart? I didn't understand how this related back to my heart or my mindset. And I was sitting in my study and I had a startling revelation. It's like the Lord just said, it's not the other three. Good ground is not the other three. So I thought, right, better look at that. It's not the other three types of ground. I've spent 3 weeks now talking about the three types of ground, the hard, by the way, the shallow, and the thorny. Good ground is not that. Quite simple. Quite simple. He doesn't have to give a huge explanation about what the fourth type of ground is, because if you deal with the first three types, you are automatically in type four. You get that? You don't look like you do. Yeah. Okay. Good ground, for me anyway, good ground in its simplest terms is the absence of the other three. So that's why I've spent so long, well, that must have been why I'd spent so long on those three types. My understanding on this scripture, Jesus doesn't give a huge description of what good ground is. He gives more descriptions about what the other three are. You see that? He just says good ground. But for the other three, he gives real good detailed description that we can get into and understand. If we know, if we recognize and we move from those three types of ground, you will automatically have good ground to sow the seed into. That's what he's saying here. If we can understand the previous three mindsets, previous three hearts, we will automatically have good ground. So what happens when we plant the seed in good ground? What have we got to do? We have to hear it, and we have to receive it, and it brings forth fruit. That's what Jesus says. Hear, there, you'll not be surprised to know, means what? Hearken, which was, and, thank you. Yeah, so much quicker than those ones. Well done. Understand, it's that word, akouo. It means to understand. It doesn't mean just to hear. Remember I gave you an illustration, I hear quite a lot from Nunzi. Am I listening? Am I understanding? Probably not. There's a difference between hearing, physically hearing, and mentally understanding, listening. Oh, I'm looking at all the blokes here. Yes, we're probably all in the same boat. We need to hearken or understand a little bit more. The Greek word there, such as hear the word, that means understand. Okay? Receive. Receive. It's a lovely definition from the Greek. It means to accept near and to delight in. It's talking about the word. We need to accept it near and delight in it. I love that. That's really good. To delight in. There's a challenge. How often do we just sit and delight in the word? I'm not going to ask you to tell. I'm kind of challenging myself here as well. How often do we just delight in this? Accept it near and delight in it. What does delight in mean? It means to enjoy. It means to love. It means to have a sense of wanting the word. We've really got to want it. Delighting in, to me, talks about having an enjoyment and an excitement in the word. And I think, to be honest, in the body of Christ, the word's not what lights people's candles or floats their boats. On the main, it's experience. Now remember, what did Peter tell us? What is better than experience? What is a more sure thing than experience? It's the word. We need to get to a stage where the word is what excites us. We need to accept it near. That means to me, take it close, hold on to it, value it, love it, enjoy being in the word. Sitting there thinking, oh, here he goes again. Yeah, the word. We should just have the word written up on the back there. Are you like that with the word? Are you like that with the word? Or are some of us still reading it because it's the Christian thing to do? I tried quite often to do the read the Bible in a year thing. 10th of January probably would have been good for me. And then it would skip days. Never done it. And then, of course, the internet comes along so you can have a reading plan. Every time you open up your computer, it says, you need to read this today. But that's quite good. If you miss 4 or 5 days, you can just reset it. You know? I think in most of us, to a certain degree, more in some, less in others, there's still the word, reading the word, it's like a Christian duty or an obligation. It's like still being under the law to a certain extent. I think I need to read my Bible today. Yeah, you do actually. But you don't need to read it to be good in the eyes of the Lord. You need to read it to accept it, to delight in it, to love it. I get to that place sometimes when I'm delighting in the word. I tell you folks, it's fantastic. Not as often as it should be, but I'm not condemning myself. But I'm getting there. It's marvelous. Sometimes just to be in this word. There are times when it is just delightful to be in the word. You know what? There's times when you're in the word and it just feels like God is talking to you directly. You know why that is? Because that's what it is. It's God speaking to you directly through his word. We saw at the start of this series, this is all God-breathed. Yeah, it was written by blokes, but it was all God-breathed. All inspired by him. This is God speaking directly to you. I think if we grasp that, we should delight in it a wee bit more. What shall God say to me today? Have a look. See what God's saying to you today. When we hear it, when we receive it, when we plant the seed into good ground, it will develop fruit. Let's see what Luke says. Luke 8. Because he says something slightly different. Luke 8, 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Ooh, slightly different. Honest, that looks completely different. What's an honest heart? It's exactly the same Greek word as good in Mark 4. So we need to know our Greek. Or we need to have a Greek book. That word, honest, just means good in the sense of beautiful, virtuous, and valuable. And then he says, an honest and good heart. This is one easy to translate. Good means good. Same kind of thing as Mark 4. Good here in Luke 8 means good or well. Good and well talks to me about being in an appropriate condition. If something's good, if something's well, it's fit for purpose. It's an appropriate condition. And that does tie up nicely with Mark 4. To me, having a good, a well, an appropriate condition heart is a lack of hard ground, lack of shallow ground, and a lack of thorns. If we need to have an appropriate, Douglas, you need an appropriate ground for planting seeds, don't you? It needs to be dug over, it needs to be sorted, it needs to be free of weeds. Well done. Yeah. You got to prepare your ground. So the last three messages have been of real importance if you want that harvest. Because if you understand the last three messages, you really don't need this one. Because you're going to have that good ground from knowing what the previous three are. Remember, the word also says that it is perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. Are you saying there's something wrong with me? Potentially, yes. Let's be blunt about it. There's nothing wrong with the word. The word is perfect. Brings forth fruit of itself. It's not our efforts. We plant the seed, prepare the ground, and then put your feet up. Plant the seed, prepare the ground, put your feet up. The seed and the good ground does the rest. The seed in combination with good ground is all that is required. It does not need your efforts. It does not need your striving. Mark 4, verse 26. We've had this a few times. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The ground, if the ground is prepared, if the ground is ready, and the seed of the word is planted, then you will see a harvest. Harvest for me, what's that? That means an abundant life. That means moving towards a more holy life. That means moving away from sin in our life. It's moving towards victories, moving away from defeats. That is what a harvest is. Harvest is an abundant life. Harvest is about seeing victories in your life that you're not seeing victories in right now. It's all about an abundant life. It brings forth fruit. The word, this word, in our hearts, brings forth fruit of itself. Our job is to prepare the ground. Know the types of ground, 1, 2, and 3. Know how you can move away from them, and you'll move into that fourth type of ground automatically. How do we develop good ground then? Get rid of the stuff in the previous three. It's really quite simple. As I say often up here, it's simple, it mightn't be easy, but it's simple. It's not rocket science. How do I get rid of the hard ground? You understand the word. Read Matthew's account. He says there, if you plant the seed and you don't understand it, the enemy will steal it away. Seed gone, nay harvest. It's really quite simple. How do I get rid of that shallow ground problem, that shallow ground thing? Develop great roots. Develop sure foundations. Get up to speed with really good fundamentals and really good foundational teaching. Get right up to speed so that you know that you know that you know that you've been forgiven, that you've been reconciled, and that you're righteous. They are great foundations. They are great roots. If you know you've been forgiven, if you know you are righteous, your top root is so far down, you are never going to wither. Develop roots in the basic foundational truths about Jesus and what he's done for you. Reconciliation, forgiveness, and righteousness. What roots? What foundations? How do I get rid of the thorns? Well, get so deep into the word that you're not distracted by the things of this era. Get so deep into the word that Facebook pool and forest mechanics just cannot pull you away. Oh no, forest was a lust of the other things, wasn't it? Get so deep into the word that you're not drawn into materialism. And get so deep into the word that you're not lusting after other things of the world. It's all about the word. It's not a vicious circle. What's the opposite? A good circle. No. You know what I mean? Instead of a vicious circle going down, it's like a good circle going up. You want to understand the word, how do you do that? Get into the word. I want to get into the word, how do you do that? You need to understand the word. The word, the word, the word. That's how you get rid of the shallow ground. That's how you get rid of the thorns. By getting into the word and understanding the word. It is all about the word. And that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. He's saying you need to understand how vital my word is to your development. It is all about my word, he's saying. What's Jesus' word? It's this. It's the Bible. You hear his word through his scriptures. What he's really saying, the crux of it is, if you don't understand the word, you don't understand me. It's what Jesus is saying. You don't understand the word, you don't understand me. The word is where you are sure you can get the truth about Jesus. Hallelujah if the Lord speaks to you directly through an audible voice. I think I might have heard that sometimes, but I'm not sure. I know. It might have been thunder. Yeah. God speaks out and somebody says, oh, that was thunder. Yeah. Peter, remember, said, I actually heard the audible voice of God on the top of that mountain, but the word is better than that. I think it's great if people have experience and hear from the Lord. Brilliant. But they've got to be sure it's him. This is without a doubt him. The word is where you're sure you can hear from the Lord. The word is where you can find out truths about him. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's a whole different sermon. I'm not getting into that. But you can't teach about Jesus equals the word equals truth equals Jesus. You know, it just goes round and round. It's all about the word. It's all about Jesus. The word, the word, the word. People, we must dive into this book. We must hear it, and we must receive it. Understand it, and delight in it. If we do that after we've prepared our hearts by removing the previous three grounds, you cannot do anything but have a harvest. Why can you say that, Vic? Because that's what Jesus says in his word. If we do that, if we understand it and delight in it, if we prepare our hearts, we will see a harvest. It is guaranteed. So you can't guarantee anything, Vic. Absolutely, I can. I can guarantee what the word says. This is not Vic saying this. This is the word. There's a fundamental question we all need to answer for ourselves after hearing something like that. Do I really believe what it says in this book? There's the fundamental question. Do I really believe that this is God-breathed and this is the complete truth? And I absolutely believe everything in here. If we want a harvest, if we want to move towards an abundant life, the answer to those questions, folks, has got to be yes. Come and talk to me and pray to me if the answer's no. Pray to me, pray with me. If the answer's no. There's loads. I'm not going to get into it. There's loads of evidence that says this is real. But you know what? Sometimes we've got to take things by faith. And I believe this is the word of God. I believe it's God-breathed. And I believe it's the truth. It sounds quite harsh, but in order to get a harvest, you've got to believe that. Because Jesus says it is the word that produces fruit. If we don't actually believe this and we plant it, I don't think it can have the opportunity. It can't be in the right ground for a start. No, if we don't believe it. The word is the way towards a more holy life. The word is the way a more abundant life. That is what the parable of the sower is saying. Get rid of these three types of grounds, plant it, understand it, receive it. You can't do anything but yield fruit. And it's not through your own strength, it's through the word itself. Into a good heart, you see, this perfect word, it's got to produce fruit. It's perfect. Perfect into a good heart, it's got to work. And the harvest, folks, will be supernatural. The harvest will be amazing. The harvest will not be natural. See, it's not our natural efforts trying to make a natural harvest here. It is the word, super powerful, spiritual, supernatural, that is doing the work and will produce a supernatural, super abundant harvest. I haven't spoken about barley yet in this message. I better do. I have a brilliant part of my job, one of the best parts. I get to go out and swan around the country looking at barley as it's nearly developed. Say to the farmer, yeah, it looks good. It's a bit like the man from Del Monte. Yeah. Vic from Diageo, he say yes. It's a bit like that. I've had the pleasure and the privilege of doing that in Denmark and Sweden, down in England. I get to go all over the place looking at barley in the fields. It's a great part of the job. And in all my time of doing that, the most corns I've ever seen on a barley is 16 pairs of corns. So 16 times 2, that's 32. The most I have ever seen is a great big long ear with 16 pairs of barley corns. Because we buy two-row barley, you see. Special type of barley, bred specifically for the malting industry. There you are, interesting. Two-row barley, 16 pairs, 32 corns. That's the most Vic has ever seen on a corn. 32 is a darn good harvest from a barley seed. Now, I'm obviously biased, but my understanding is when Jesus is talking about the sower, he's talking about barley. It's got to be. He used barley loaves to feed the 5,000. You could. It's very likely that it was barley that he's talking about, that the sower is sowing. It can't be anything else because I don't know about anything else. It's got to be barley. Barley loaves. Five small barley loaves, remember? Feed all those people. Today, 32 corns is a phenomenal harvest off a barley corn. Back then, before barley breeding and genetic modification and breeding programs, 30 must have been a phenomenal harvest. Because we have developed barley so much in the last 50, 60 years to increase its yield. 32 is a great yield. 30 must have been brilliant. I can just imagine the disciples sitting there and thinking, 60? 100? Because Jesus is telling them about something they all know about. They went gleaning, didn't they? Is that the word? Gleaning, gleaming, gleaning? Gleaning, gleaning. So they would have been through the barley fields. They would have known what barley looks like. Everybody then was aware of that agricultural economy. They all knew about growing barley. That's why Jesus is talking about sowing seeds, because they all knew about it. They knew what barley plants looked like. They knew what the harvest would have been that they'd traditionally get off it. The disciples must have been so surprised when Jesus started talking about the harvest that you can get. Because they would have been, you know what the disciples were like? They just thought on a physical level about everything, didn't they? There's sometimes they just didn't get the spiritual. So they'd have been sitting there thinking, so Jesus is saying you plant a seed, you can get 30. Yeah, that's pretty good yield. But you can get 60 or 100 off that plant? That's not natural. It's what they would have been thinking. 60 would have been bad enough, but getting 100-fold harvest would have been almost unimaginable. In that sense, folks, 100 is talking about almost infinity, endless. Don't get hung up on the numbers here. The numbers are almost irrelevant. What Jesus is saying to his disciples, the full harvest that you can get off the seed of this word is almost unimaginable. It is infinite what you can do. It is endless the harvest that you can have off this seed of this word. He's not saying if you do something you're going to get exactly 100-fold back. He could have said 1,000 or 1,000,000. But they wouldn't have got that. 100 was big enough for them. I could say you could get a Googleplex off that. That's 10 to the power of 100, I think, isn't it? Mr. McKay, do you not know what? No. So, you know, you could say any big number. 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000. What he's saying here is the opportunities for your harvest, if you sow the word into a good heart, is endless. Unimaginable. I think that's exciting. Jesus is not saying you're going to literally get 30 or 60 or 100. He's saying you might get harvest, some harvest that you might actually expect, that you might imagine. Oh, I think I'll get 30 off this. But you can double that. And you know what? You can go so far that the numbers are just unimaginable. Your harvest could be beyond your wildest dreams. That is what Jesus is saying. He's saying you can have different levels of harvest. But the biggest harvest is just awesome. And he said that to every single one of his disciples. So who's he saying that to today? Every single one of you. He is saying you can have a huge harvest if you plant the seed in a right heart. Your harvest can be phenomenal, beyond your wildest dreams. I am going to be preaching to thousands across the world. I'm claiming that. That is going to be my harvest. I'm claiming that right now. This little nobody from Avis, yes. Nobody in the physical terms, but somebody who's got the living Christ inside them. If I can just plant all those seeds and prepare that ground, my harvest is endless. And so is yours. You need to keep telling yourselves that. What potential? Remember, I keep going on about the seeds being potential. Seeds are potential and life. And you can plant them and you can have so much potential and so much life. I know the great thing, if you get a huge harvest, you can just give it away. Hallelujah. That's available to every single one of you. We can see victories in so many areas of our lives and at levels that are beyond the natural. Let me try and give you another example. We were driving last night and Nunsy said, "Oh, okay then, Vic. So what does the 30, 60 and 100 kind of actually, what is it? What does it look like?" She asks all the awkward questions, doesn't she? What does 30, 60 and 100 look like? And it came quite quickly. I said to Nancy, I said, "Well, to me, it's kind of like my asthma." Not my asthma, sorry. See, out of the, yeah. Thank you, Lord. There's a bit of preparation in that heart to be done yet. My experience with asthma up to this point. Years, 4, 5, 6 years ago, I just wasn't seeing fruit in this area at all. No fruit. I was in bondage to my inhaler. Absolute bondage to my inhaler. Couldn't go out the house without it. Panicked if I didn't have it in my pocket. Nunsy would know if I was standing going like this, I'd lost my inhaler. Nunsy and the kids would be searching the house as I would be standing there trying not to panic. And they'd find my inhaler. It would be okay. Oh, we could go out now. Everything was fine. I was in bondage to that inhaler. I was praying and praying and praying, and I was beating myself up about it. I was a local director of a thing called Healing Rooms. I was preaching healing, and I couldn't get healed. And I was in condemnation, beating myself up about it. No fruit. Taking it personally. Couldn't get rid of this asthma. And I got the revelation to let it go. Just let it go. Forget about it. Or try and forget about it. Just let it go. It's what I say to people now. Let it go and focus on the Word and focus on Jesus. If you've got someone you're struggling with, let it go. Almost try and forget about it. And I said to Nunsy one night, "You know what? It's been 3 months since I've used my inhaler. 30-fold harvest." That's what I looked at then, or what you can look at it. 30-fold fruit. And then recently, things have been getting that much better with my asthma. There's no natural cure, by the way. There's no natural cure for asthma. You've got it. Sometimes it goes, sometimes it goes back, but you've got it. There's no pill you can take to make asthma disappear. You can take medication to deal with the symptoms, but there's no cure. So I hadn't used that inhaler for 3 months. I haven't used it for over 3 years now to get relief, but I'm still on medication at the start and the end of the day. But the asthma is so much under control and changing that I'm now on half medication than what I was. 60-fold harvest? What's 100-fold? Complete manifestation of healing, no symptoms, no medication, no asthma. the area of my heart where I'm should be dealing with asthma and things like that, there's still some thorns there. There must be. Or the ground is still too shallow. I'm not sure what area I'm in yet. But there's something that's holding that full manifestation back. And you know what? It's not the Lord. It's not His Word. Because they are perfect. So it must be something to do with me. But there's no condemnation anymore. Hallelujah. Because I know I've been healed. I just need to renew my mind through focusing on the Word and planting those seeds and dealing with my heart, preparing the ground, and that 100-fold increase, that supernatural, unimaginable, unnatural event will happen. And I will have full healing manifested from asthma. There's an example. I don't know if that'll help. But I'm sure you're all sitting there and thinking about examples in your life. Maybe you're just in the start of this journey and you have got issues and you just kind of deal with them. Or you've started to progress. Are you at 30, 60, near 100? Have you seen no fruit at all? If we get into this process, you know, it's about improving your health. It's about moving away from addictions. There's so many areas in our lives where we need to see a step change. To me, this 30, 60, 100 is like a step change. You know, a step change is when you have a big difference, like a jump in performance or whatever. If you're wanting to move away from sin in your life, or if you're wanting to move towards a more holy life, this process of getting into the Word and understanding the parable of the sower will help you so much. And these different levels of harvest, to me, are like step changes in performance. But it's not trying to get that jump. Don't try. I was praying all the time for asthma, and I was seeing other people being healed of other things, sometimes instantly. And I'm saying, how can they be healed? And I'm not. I'm the pastor, for goodness sake. I'm supposed to be perfect. I am in my spirit. But, don't know where I was going with that. Where was I? Step changes. If you're wanting to move away from some kind of sin in your life, if you're wanting to move towards a more holy, more abundant life, forget about that thing that's holding you back, that you're focusing on. Forget about it. Forget about it, Vic. Does that mean I can do it? No. Just forget about it and get into the Word. And focus on the Word and focus on Jesus and it'll go away. I've told you as well about how we used to pray all the time because I was petrified about flying. I was so focused on the Word one time. I didn't have time to think about anything else. And the flight's called. I was on the plane, I was getting down the plane in London, the other side, and I thought, I wasn't afraid. You know why? Because I was focusing so much on the Lord. There was no place for fear, and it went on its own. I had fruit because I was focusing on the Word. That's where we need to go. We can all have 100-fold harvest, supernatural harvest, in the difficult areas of our lives. But we've seen it's a process. I've been on this journey now with asthma. When I kind of grasped a bit about it for about 4.5 years now, and I'm not right there yet. It takes time. But don't give up on that. You've got to start somewhere. If I hadn't started 4.5 years ago, I'd still be standing here today checking that I've got my inhaler. So we all need to start the process and keep going. If you've got difficulties in your life, don't focus on them. Focus on the Word, and you'll see little changes. Praise the Lord and thank the God for that little bits of fruit, for that little harvest. And don't give up. Keep going. Things take years and years and years to grow and develop. I want it instantly, Vic. That's nay how it works. Stay in the Word. Keep preparing that ground of your heart. Break up those hard surfaces. Develop those roots about forgiveness and righteousness. and get so deep into the word that the distractions, the lusts, the materialisms just doesn't matter. Those thorns go. Keep planting those seeds. Keep preparing that ground. Your fruit will come. I guarantee it. Well, no, I don't guarantee it. The Lord guarantees it. Your job is to plant the seeds. Your job is to prepare the ground. Now that we read a little bit earlier, your job is not to go out and dig it up and have a look. Your job is to sow the seed and prepare the ground and leave the seed to do it. Plant the seeds of the word. Meditate on the word. Listen to the word. Read the word. Pray the word. Dig up that ground. Prepare your heart and you will see fruits. You'll see lower levels to start, but keep planting and keep nurturing and keep developing and you will see a supernatural harvest. Because we have all the ability, all that we need to see fruit of the supernatural. Because it's nothing to do with you, it's all to do with the word. And that fruit will be good. Amen. Hallelujah.